today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
We begin to hear great sounding ideas, great theories, great philosophies, and we drift and we gravitate toward those things, embracing the traditions of men, but we are moved far, far away from truth and from the heart of God. And it's a dangerous thing. Because, you know, how we live, how we act, how we call people out in sin is based upon what we know, what we believe, and what we've been taught.
Deeper and deeper.
Stop and think about where you get your understanding of how to live life and even interact with other people. Is it from the latest self-help book? Is it from your favorite talk show host? The philosophies of this world are only helpful when they line up with the truths of God's Word, which is where we should be turning to first. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew with part one of our message entitled, The Relevance of Truth.
You know, the truth is true. There's nothing you can do about it. It is what it is, right? But there's a movement today, a church movement or a Christian movement, to make the truth relevant or to package the truth into something that is relevant so that the people will come, so that the people will listen, so that the people will receive or hear from you. The idea is that, well, pastors are starting to look like the world. And they're starting. I watched a church service and watched it, and certainly the pastor looked like the world, you know, looked cool. He talked cool, talked a little edgy, and at the very end, he used a cuss word, a mild cuss word, but not a, not the big ones. But a cuss word nonetheless. And one of the things that he said was, you don't have to be a Christian to serve here. You don't have to trust in Jesus or believe in Jesus to serve here. We just want you to be around those who believe in Jesus. It sounds good. Sounds reasonable. I could take that argument right now and possibly convince many of you, you know what? That would work. To bring people in, to work alongside those who believe. But here's a problem also. There's always a problem that when people come in and begin to look at the people serving, look at the people in leadership, if they don't believe in Jesus and they've got different counsel, then they're looking up to people they should not be looking up to. And so it's very important that the people who are serving and who are leading in a congregation believe in the Lord. Trust the Lord. What would it look like if our military went out to fight wars not on the same page? Well, it looked like what's going on in the Middle East right now, where some are turning their weapons on their own people and killing them. We can't afford that in the church. We need to be believers. Following the Lord. We can't dumb down the gospel or even lower the standards of what it means to follow Christ, because the world is looking to the church. And sadly, because of this direction of being relevant, becoming relevant and looking like the world's losing its light. The light that it was to look to. The truth is relevant. We don't need to make it relevant. It is very relevant. The problem is this: the truth doesn't cater to the culture. In fact, it often offends the culture. The Bible's truths don't need to be updated or couched in anything that would make it look nicer. We just need to learn how to apply it practically in our lives today. It's very relevant. Everyone seems to have their own idea of truth, as if there are many interpretations to the good book, many interpretations. But there's actually a message, a big picture message, and all of those messages, all of those truths within that message, that gospel, need to fit within the context of the overall message and plan and will and purpose of God. We need to know the truth. It's the truth that will set us free. You know, truth seemed to be very important to God. Jesus, when he was standing before Pilate, he said, "I came to bear witness to the truth." He said earlier than that, the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and said, "God our Savior desires all men to be saved and," like this is in addition to that, "and come to the knowledge of the truth." Well, wait a minute, you can't be saved unless you know the truth. Well, yes, you can't be saved unless you know the truth about God, that He loves you, that He forgives you, that you're a sinner. But you know, there's more to discover once you're saved. We get saved, but there's more truth to discover. There's some wrong ideas we have as a young believer. We're saved. We're forgiven. But we're also wrong about a lot of the things that we think, the things that we do, the things that we're okay with. So we're learning. Scripture says we're working out our salvation. Not working it out so that we're saved, but we're working out the details of what it means to follow Christ, to be a child of the kingdom, to live that way. I think you've got to confess, if you're a believer here today and you've given your life to the Lord, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, there are some ideas, there are some things in you that God is still changing. God is still working on. And guess what? You could be a 1-year veteran or a 20-year veteran, and there's still something you're wrong about. Something God's got to work out in you. There's a high standard when it comes to teaching. The things that you're not certain about, the things that aren't clear in the Scriptures, we shouldn't be preaching. Because what we do is we make people followers of us rather than followers of Christ. And that's what the religious leaders were doing in Jesus' day. So, the truth is important and the truth is relevant. We're going to find out how the truth is relevant for us as Jesus is confronted by some religious leaders of His day. In verse 1 it says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." But you say, "Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother." Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." That's key. They're teaching commandments of men. They're teaching the persuasions of men, the ideas of men. How many times and how sad it is that people walk away from their church services going, "Well, pastor says, well, pastor thinks, well, pastor wants, and pastor likes, and pastor does." Knowing more about the pastor and his life and what he thinks than about Jesus and about His word. It's sad, but it happens. Now, I guess a first point in how is the truth relevant for us today is the truth keeps us centered. This question that comes up from the religious leaders is meant to derail Jesus and his ministry. He comes up, they're from Jerusalem, it says. That's about 100 miles away from Gennesaret where they're at. And so they're looking. They're not coming to follow this rabbi. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were notorious for coming and trying to stumble him, trying to poke a hole in his ministry. It's easy to poke holes in people's arguments and ministries. Some just love to come and poke holes in everything. Well, that's what they were doing. And so they find something that they can hold on to. I mean, Jesus is rock solid. He's teaching with great authority. His words are true. His words are piercing. They're thinking, man, Lord, how do we get this guy? All of a sudden, apparently they see his disciples and they're going to eat and they're hungry. You know, they're walking with Jesus. They don't have much. And so they go to the bread. Maybe they wipe their hands off, they dust them off. Maybe even they rinse them off a tiny bit, a little bit, but not according to the traditions of the elders. And then they begin to eat and break bread and thank God and all these things. Everything's right. But these guys go, aha, look, look what they're doing wrong. They're not washing their hands according to the tradition of the elders. Now, we need to understand something. This is not a question about hygiene. They're not saying, man, they were digging in the dirt with their hands and they didn't. Why don't they wash their hands before they eat? That's disgusting. This is about tradition, a rule, a ritual, something that would make you more righteous, more holy. And notice the words that they use. It's the traditions of the elders. They take these traditions very seriously. In fact, when I went to Israel a couple of years ago now, I sat next to a very devout Orthodox Jewish woman. And when they were handing out the food, I got my little tray and she got hers and it was special order, you know, can't have this, can't have that. And so, okay, I understand those things. But then she asked for 2 cups of water. And I'm like, okay, we'll see what's going to happen here. And so she got one of the cups and just poured it on one side of her. I mean, we're in the plane. Have you ever sat in a plane? You don't have a whole lot of room. And I'm right next to her, you know, except for this thing here. We're almost hip to hip, you know, we're all packed in there. And she's dumping water. And I'm, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's pouring it on her and doing all this stuff. And then she takes the other cup. She's pouring it on her. I'm like, man, this is serious. I mean, is someone watching her? What's up? It was the traditions that had been passed down. They still, some of the Orthodox Jewish groups, they still hold to some of these traditions, these oral traditions that were passed down. And they take this as, man, if I don't do this, I'm not righteous. If I don't do this, I'm offending God. The problem is, God could care less. They don't know the heart of God. They have been so taught the traditions of men that they have been removed from the very heart of God. And that's what happens. Is we begin to hear great sounding ideas, great theories, great philosophies, and we drift and we gravitate toward those things, embracing the traditions of men, but we are moved far, far away from truth and from the heart of God. And it's a dangerous thing because, you know, how we live, how we act, how we call people out in sin is based upon what we know, what we believe, and what we've been taught. Now, Jesus' answer is meant to convict or pierce. Oh, Jesus was very good at that. He says, why do you transgress the command of God because of your tradition? Notice Jesus' statement versus their statement. See, their statement was, why do you transgress the traditions of the elders? And Jesus says, why do you transgress the command of God? Which is more important? Hey, center yourself here on truth again. On what's important. On what leads a person to God. How did they transgress the command of God? Well, they were honoring their stuff more than they were honoring their parents, in this case in particular. I think Mark's gospel uses the word korban. What had happened is, according to the Jewish traditions, they could dedicate their stuff to God for His use. It had to be available. It's for God's use. So if there was something in the temple, oh, okay, it's for God. It's for God's glory. Then you use it and they could get it back. It's for God's use. And so when they dedicated their stuff, well, they couldn't lend it out. And they certainly couldn't do some of the things that would be helpful with it. Like when it was time to take care of your parents. Oh, I could sure use a chair. Ours broke. Oh, I'd give you my nice chair, my nice extra chair, but it's devoted to God. I dedicated it to the Lord. And so I'd hate to give it to you only to take it back and have to give it for the service of the temple or for God's purposes. It's all spiritual sounding. But it really caused them to neglect God's command. That was to love and to honor your parents, to care for them. And so they had these spiritual sounding words, spiritual sounding activities, and all the while they're breaking commands of God. But they were justified because we're following God. I liken it today to some of our God said stuff. Some will say, God said. And yet, the very things God says to do end up causing them on a larger scale to violate some of what God's word clearly says to do. You're not paying your bills. Well, God said to do this. It's very easy to get very spiritual and have no truth, no substance, to be far from the heart of God. And Jesus is saying to them, your traditions, these things you're following, these teachings of men are causing you to violate the commands of God. Truth keeps us centered on the heart of God. People use spiritual excuses to avoid godly responsibilities. It's funner to look spiritual. I know some who are always at church. Not in our church yet, because we have nothing going on for you to be here all the time. But they're always at church. What's going on? If the church has a coffee shop, they're at the coffee shop. They're hanging out. I'm in ministry. I'm ministering. And yet, their home is not in order. And very often, it's a disguise. It's a mask. They're running away. They're coming and they're hanging around and ministering and feeling spiritual. All along, things at home are not taken care of. In fact, when they are home, their wife and them, there's friction, there's tension. They're not on the same page. Their children are out of order. They're avoiding all of that, looking spiritual, always at the church. The people at the church, they'd say, well, they're spiritual. How do you know? Well, they're always here. I always see them. They're talking about the Lord. They're not. Because they're prioritizing the wrong things. They don't have God's priorities. In fact, I experienced one time out in a parking lot of a church, there were some kids, two little kids, running around, and they kind of were running around the cars in the parking lot. And so they kind of ran into me. I stopped them and said, hey, I knew the kids, knew the parents. I said, where are your parents at? They're running around out here. It's dangerous. You could be kidnapped. I mean, anything can happen. Like, oh, they're inside. Okay, so well, I think you should go inside where your parents are. So I go inside and find out that what was happening was the parents were ministering. Or that's Christian for I was hanging out talking with people, sharing that which I know about the Lord. That's wrong. You have kids. And so you need to bring order. You need to discipline. You need to keep them. You need to care for them. At the very least, make sure they're in someone's care, that they are safe before you're distracted with the ministering. It's a wrong sense of priorities, but it sounds so spiritual. It looks so spiritual. People giving generously in the church. Oh, the recipients, the people watching, even the pastor who knows about that. Oh, so spiritual. All the while, they won't sit down and be disciplined enough in their own home to pay those bills. They're juggling things. They're overspending. They're using the credit cards. Oh, but they're also giving. They're giving to, oh, they're so giving. They're putting God first. Wrong priorities. They look spiritual. They're doing spiritual things that cause them to look spiritual, but their heart is far from the Lord. Maybe their heart wants to be close to the Lord, but they're not doing what God has commanded, what God has said is important, what God has said should be first. But the truth keeps us centered on the heart of God. Proverbs 22:1 says that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Our name is tied to our credit report. If you want a loan, if you want to do anything, then they're going to tap into your credit report. And so we need to do the first things first before ministry extends beyond our homes, beyond us. Jesus says, these people, they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach the commandments of men. I could say today it's the perspective of men. They teach men's perspectives, but they don't have God's perspective, God's heart. In other words, they're doing what they've heard and seen in men to the neglect of the revealed Word of God. Jesus said, John 14:15, that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my commandments. He also said they wouldn't be a burden to you. Not that they're not difficult, but you wouldn't see them as, oh man, I would minister. I would talk to you, but you know what? I got kids. So I'm just out of the ministry now. No, you're in the ministry. The kids. They are ministry. Their lives, their people, they count. To pour into them, to raise them up. Not drawing near to God, trying to do the spiritual thing or to look spiritual, but being genuine in your faith and putting first things first. With the spiritual types, it seems that God always is speaking to them. Always. I've seen people whose lives I wouldn't follow, and yet they keep saying, God told me this, and God said this, and God's telling me this. I think, man, I wish I heard from God that clearly and that much. But it's strange because they'll say things like, God told me to take this job. And then before the whole trial period's up, well, God told me to leave that job. God said everything. Instead of teaching the people to follow God, the Pharisees were teaching the people really to follow them. And that's what Jesus is saying. So, Jesus condemns their spirituality and he moves on in verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. The religious leaders would condemn you for not washing your hands the right way and for not praying at the right time of the day. Perhaps not using the King James English. Actually, they didn't have the King James back then. That was a knock on the King James only mentality that's still out there in the world.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we'd like to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible studies at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll be able to listen to or download any of our messages, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you. Somehow I survive, and I wonder why.
And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.